Hey everyone, I'm so excited to come out to the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's going to be a blast.
Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee.
I'm going to be giving a presentation called Making the Case Against Cancel Culture, where I talk about how we write comedy and how Christians need to use art and writing and all of that wonderful stuff to fight against cancel culture, and how we have to take a bold stand for the truth using the creative talents that God has given us. It's going to be a great time, and I'm so excited to come out and see everybody, meet everybody, and talk a little bit about how we write satire and use that to communicate God's truth.
You can meet and hear Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee at the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. Making the Case, June 16th and 17th in River Forest, Illinois.
They are promoting modern families, which is code for child loss. Modern family simply means that the child had to lose their mother or father to be in that family.
Conservatives here tend to want a smaller government. The Nazis wanted a government that controls everything. Modern day conservatives in America put a big emphasis on freedom, liberty. The Nazis wanted to squelch individual freedom and liberty.
For a Christian, your absolute priority is always that your children would know the Lord God and know Him, especially in His grace and His mercy in Jesus Christ, and that they would know those things on their deathbed.
That's something that I would hope for anyone who was raised in Bill Gothard's system or in another system, a teacher who claimed to speak for God but didn't, that they would come to know the beauty of Christ for who He truly is.
This is Mike from Illinois, and Lutherans Marching for Life, Love, Issues, etc.
We could see it coming a long way off, the eventual split of the United Methodist Church. Then it became a reality, a little bit slowed down by COVID and the global pandemic, but it's back on track, although it's not as neat and clean as it looks like on paper. I had a conversation with a Methodist acquaintance of mine. She said that her congregation is essentially splitting up over this, not leaving, not staying, but splitting up. I think that's happening more often in the United Methodist Church. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, March the 17th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to get an update on the congregational exodus from the United Methodist Church with Mark Tooley of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C. Pastor Andrew Packer joins us to discuss Jesus' answer to transgender ideology. We'll spend some time with Pastor Ted Geese talking about the Academy Awards and the movie that took almost all of them away. And then Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us for This Week in Pop Christianity. Rick Warren's Biblical Justification for Female Pastors will be the subject. Mark Tooley is president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C. He's author of the book Taking Back the United Methodist Church and a recent column, Methodist Split, Messy Creativity. Mark, welcome back.
Great to be with you.
How would you explain to someone who doesn't know the story why congregations are leaving the United Methodist Church en masse?
The official standards of the United Methodist Church on marriage and sexuality are Orthodox, but that's only because of the churches in Africa, their delegates when they attend the convention. If it were left up to the U.S. church, it would certainly liberalize by a wide margin. So the church standards are not being upheld in America, and so there's an unusual church law in force just until the end of this year, allowing congregations to vote themselves out of the denomination if the congregation votes by a two-thirds margin. And so it was realized last year by conservatives, this was the best way to go and to create a new Methodist denomination. And so far, several thousand churches have voted themselves out, and we expect 1,000 or two more before the end of the year.
How progressive is the United Methodist Church's establishment?
It's extremely liberal, and it always has been, dating back to the early 20th century. All the seminaries, the agencies, nearly all the American bishops. And so conservatives, evangelicals have always been a strong subculture in the U.S. church, but have never had a majority among the clergy and have never been represented to any serious extent in the church bureaucracy.
So what exactly is the process for a congregation to decide whether or not to leave the United Methodist Church?
The congregation must vote by two-thirds to exit, and after they do so, it must be ratified by their local conference, which is a Methodist equivalent of a synod or a local diocese. They have to pay an exit fee, which is usually about the equivalent of 5 or 6 years' worth of typical annual payments to the national church.
Do these congregations, if they vote to leave as a congregation, do they get to keep their property?
Yes, that's the appeal. In the United Methodist Church, the property is owned by the denomination through the local conference. But under this special temporary law, they can vote themselves out and take all their property and assets with them.
You say that while liberals and institutionalists kind of won the denomination, their victory is empty. What do you mean by that, Mark?
Well, we expect that next year, when the next governing general conference meets, that with so many conservatives having left, liberals will have a clear majority, finally, after decades, officially, to liberalize the church's teachings and standards on marriage and sexuality. But what will be left of the United Methodist Church? The church's own finance agency anticipates over the next 4 years a nearly 40% drop in income, which implies about 40% drop in membership, and it will only accelerate after that. And this is amid a culture in American Christianity that denominational loyalties are collapsing. And so you can no longer rely on people going to a particular denomination because that's what their grandparents belong to. Churches now have to work to win people over. And so I think the United Methodist Church will continue to implode and sadly has a very grim future.
So you've written recently about some examples of how United Methodist Church congregations are splitting, sometimes not into just two, but three sometimes. Tell us about those examples.
Most of the exiting churches have done so with leadership from their conservative pastor, and because the congregation itself was pretty by consensus conservative, voting by 85, 90, 95%. But that's unusual among United Methodist churches. A denominational poll several years ago showed 44% of Methodists are conservative and 20% liberals, 20% centrist. So no one has a majority. Conservatives have a plurality. And so your typical local church may be 40, 50% are conservative, but certainly not two-thirds. So often you have sad, tragic situations where they try to vote to exit and maybe 55, 60% are in favor, but that's not enough to do it. Or maybe half the church wants to have a vote, but they realize they don't have the vote, so there never is a vote, so they just disperse to other churches.
You call this some messy creativity. What do you mean by that?
Well, a few churches have been creative. So the largest Methodist church in Arkansas, rather than having a messy vote, negotiated a settlement among themselves. So the liberals will keep the building, but the conservatives will get $500,000 to start a new church, and then they have a satellite campus that will go conservative. So they're splitting three ways, and everyone will get to choose where they want to land.
You said that after this deadline, when the United Methodist Church reconvenes, the liberal majority is now going to be able to make the changes they want to. What do you expect those changes to be?
They want to get rid of the church's prohibition on same-sex marriage. They want to get rid of the church's prohibition on actively homosexual clergy. They want to get rid of the expectation that clergy will be celibate if single and monogamous in male-female marriage. And they want to get rid of the church's teachings that affirm sex only within male-female marriage.
Will they be able to do this? And what do you think the timeline will be?
The General Conference will meet in May of 2024, and I expect all of that will go through easily, and it should be recalled that at the last convention in 2019, the liberals had what they called a simple resolution in which they would have eliminated all sexuality prohibitions, and 41% voted for it, which means about two-thirds of the American delegates voted for it, so something like that might pass.
So you mentioned this before, but how many congregations do you think will leave the United Methodist Church by the established deadline?
So far, 3,000 have voted to leave, and by year's end, at least 4,000, maybe 5,000. it could go beyond that. And then when the church officially liberalizes next year, many more will try to get out. It'll be very hard because this special provision to take your property will have expired, but some will litigate, some will walk away from their property, and some will try to buy their property at full value.
Some of these congregations that have split over this, the remaining liberal congregation is left with property, with debt, with things like that. Do you expect some of these congregations to close?
Yes, there was a very large church, for example, outside of Memphis that had a liberal pastor and a conservative congregation. He opposed exit. 65% voted to exit, just short of the 67% needed. And so the very next Sunday, a majority of the church met at a nearby funeral home. Meanwhile, the old church with two expensive properties is left with several million dollars in debt and a congregation not large enough able to sustain those properties. So again, not a very good future.
What is happening in the African wing of the United Methodist Church? What are they doing about it?
Most United Methodists are in Africa. There are 7 million United Methodists in Africa. They're all conservative, and they're a little bit befuddled as to why the church is dividing, because the standards of the church are biblical, but of course in America not being upheld. So sadly, the African church itself may be divided, not theologically, not ethically, but they will not be able to live under a liberalized Methodist church with same-sex marriage, but they have their own tribal and political divisions. And so we hope they will join the new global Methodist denomination that American congregations are joining. Some of them will. Some of them may prefer to become autonomous.
So give us an update on the new denomination, the Global Methodist Church.
It was announced last year as a new denomination. Perhaps about half of the exiting churches so far have joined the Global Methodist Church. The others have not yet decided. I think in the end, probably about 85% at least of the exiting American Methodist churches will join the Global Methodist Church. Some of the churches in East Europe have joined the Global Methodist churches, some in the Philippines, a few in Africa. But the hope is that the Global Methodist Church will live up to its name and be a truly global denomination, which, if most of the Africans choose to come in, it'll be a majority African denomination.
Mark Tooley is president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C. He's author of the book, Taking Back the United Methodist Church, and a recent column, Methodist Splits Messy Creativity. You'll find a link to it on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Mark, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
When we return, we're going to be talking about what Jesus' answer to transgenderism is. Pastor Andrew Packer, author of a column for the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Resurrected Body, will be our guest.
This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. Join me, my husband Mark of Real Clear Investigations, Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee, San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison, and others for the 2023 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, June 16th and 17th in Chicago. issuesetc.org.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, lutheranpublicradio.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Is your child struggling at school? Are you thinking about homeschooling? Would you like help knowing what to teach and how to teach it? The Simply Classical curriculum from Memoria Press provides an enriching, step-by-step classical Christian education for students who have autism, learning or behavioral difficulties, ADHD, and more. You'll find everything you need, including daily lesson plans to guide your way. Learn more at simplyclassical.com. Use LPR23 to save on your order. Simplyclassical.com.
Save the date. The 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference is October 11th through 13th at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport in Erlanger, Kentucky, with visits to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. Look for more information in early 2023 at lutheransforlife.org/conference. Lutherans for Life, equipping Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. lutheransforlife.org.